already near the end of summer. It seems like it just started a few days ago. But that means that in just a week and a half, I have to go back to school. And, you know, this is my last weekend preaching here because of that. But, you know, that's okay, because next week you're finally going to get to hear Father Ben preach again. He has to start working again. Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. He's really busy. But, okay. Going back to school, it's not exactly my favorite thing to do, because I have to leave behind my family and my friends. That's always hard. I have to leave behind Wichita and Kansas, and frankly, I don't really want to be anywhere else permanently. And while I do actually kind of like Chicago, and my school's all right, you know, it's not home. But worse than all of that is the 12-hour drive to get there. Ugh, that's a long drive. Usually on that drive, I make 3 or 4 stops. It depends on, you know, the road conditions, how tired I am, how many coffees or Mountain Dews I drank because of how tired I am, how hungry I am, all those things. You know, it always seems like I'm hungry on road trips, though. There's something about driving that makes me hungry. You know, I used to bring a big old bag of sunflower seeds with me. And even then, every time I stop, I'd have to fight the battle of the candy bar. Do I want one? Or do I want 3? It's a hard battle. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm the only person who's ever had to fight the battle of the candy bar on a road trip. It seems like long trips make us hungry. Maybe this goes back to the old days when journeys were way more treacherous and difficult. Instead of just hopping in a car or jumping on a plane, people had to walk the whole way. Or if they were really lucky, they had some oxen to pull their wagon across the muddy trail. And on those kind of trips, you would need to eat every chance you got. Because if you didn't bring enough food, or if you couldn't find anything to eat, not only would you not complete your journey, but you might very well die on the way. We find Elijah in this sort of situation today. So he starts out this reading. He's frustrated, tired, alone. He's ready to quit. He even tells God, "Take me now, Lord, I'm ready." And what did God say back to him? "You got a journey, buddy, that you're going to go on." And so God sends him an angel with bread and water. And this angel wakes up Elijah twice and says, "You have to eat so that you have strength for the journey." And this wasn't just any journey either. It was a journey that was 40 days long. So, sidebar here, 40 days, when you run across that in the Bible, it means something big is going to happen. For example, it rained 40 days when Noah was in the ark. That's something big. Israel wandered around 40 years in the desert after they left Egypt, before they came into the promised land. And then Jesus fasted for 40 days before he began his ministry. Big things happen when you see the number 40. And so what was the big event that Elijah had to get ready for? Elijah was going to Mount Horeb. And on that mountain, in a cave, in the high places, he encountered God in just the faintest little whisper. God calls each one of us to make this same journey, to hear him in the faintest whisper. And our lives on this earth are the very first part of this journey, because in this life, we learn to hear God's voice, and we learn to follow it. We learn to love our God, to love our neighbor. We learn to live a life full of virtue, virtues that reflect God to those around us. In a very real way, this life is a journey towards the Christian life. And also in a very real way, God gives us food for the journey. This food that he gives us sustains our souls, and it makes the journey possible for us. And what is that food? That food is the Eucharist, the bread of life, because God himself is our food for this journey. God personally sustains each one of us on our journey to him. Jesus Christ sustains us on this journey to his Father, because only through Jesus can we reach the Father. Jesus says today that whoever believes has eternal life. Whoever believes in Jesus, who believes that we must live a life that follows Jesus' example, who believes that Jesus gives himself to us in the Eucharist, whoever believes Jesus when he says, "I am the bread of life," and then receives him, that person will have eternal life. If we do not believe Jesus, if we do not believe these things, we can't really receive him, and so we won't have eternal life. But if we do and we receive him, we will. Because Jesus, the bread of life, is the way to eternal life. He is so much more than just simple food for our journey. He is also the way, the path that we follow to eternity. Jesus desires to be, I think the best word to sum it up is, our viaticum. Viaticum is what we traditionally call the Eucharist, the very last time that someone receives it, when they're preparing for their death. And that word, it's Latin, it translates literally to mean the way with you. Jesus wants to be the way for us. He wants to go on the journey with us. Jesus wants to be our guide and our companion every day of this earthly life. And then he wants to be our guide and our companion when we die and pass on. And he wants to be our guide and companion in the next life, because then he can bring us to his Father. Jesus wants to be our viaticum every day of our life. He wants to fill our hearts with his love, with faith in him. And by receiving the Eucharist, the bread of life, Jesus wants to show us the road to eternal life and then to travel it with us.